97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Cox Morning Show is brought to you by Thomas Helbig and Bob Kershaw with the Retirement Advisory Group, retirementkey.com.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is
the Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. A few minutes after 7 here on your Wednesday morning. It's the 11th of June. I'm Mark. That's Kim St. Ange. Ethan Bright running the board for us this morning. And Susan Thomas with all of the traffic that you'll need to get you to and from work. Just another one of those things here. We're watching what's going on in L.A. There are more complaints about these protests breaking out in other states. We had some problems in New York yesterday, and Kim was telling me just before we went into the break there, she texted me a link to one that's happening in St. Louis today, right, Kim?
Yeah, this is at 4 p.m. at Allo Plaza, and this is the... Well, I guess the group that shared it was the Socialist Party or something like that. It says the St. Louis branch of the Party for Socialism and Liberation. That's who shared this post. But they're saying from L.A. to St. Louis, ICE out. Emergency protest. And it says, it says the people of Los Angeles and surrounding areas have taken a courageous stand against Trump's reign of terror targeting immigrant families in response. The administration has falsely labeled those taking to the streets in protest of the brutal war on immigrants as rioters. And called in thousands of National Guard soldiers for a crackdown. We cannot let this repression intimidate us. For those who believe in immigrant rights, for those who believe in democracy, for the entire working class, now is the time to take to the streets and protest. 4 p.m. Be there. Mark your calendars if that sounds appealing to you.
It's at the Allo Plaza. Do you know where that is?
No,
you know
what that is?
I didn't recognize the name of it.
Got to be
in
the city.
Never heard it called that before in my life. But you know those statues of naked people across from Union Station with the water squirting out of them?
Yes.
That's Allo Plaza.
Oh.
I had no idea.
Well, there you go.
Haven't had no idea. Is it named after the people that did this? The statues?
Well, steer clear of downtown and the naked statues then.
Allo Plaza was made possible by bonds issued back in 1923 to widen the street and all that stuff. And there you have it. Anyway, that's where it is. If you're interested in coming down and greeting the maniacs at 4 o'clock this afternoon, you want to plan a little counter protest down there and raise some American flags, I think that would be fantastic. And try to teach them what it's all about. Obviously, there are a bunch of socialists who don't respect or love America to begin with. So let's hope we get some counter-protesters down there today. There are more protesters, one planned Friday, I think, near Tower Grove Park by a bunch of radicals. And then on Saturday, this No Kings group is having little meetings all over the place. You can go to their website. What did I tell you that was earlier? No Kings something?
Something. No Kings.
NoKings.com or .org or let me see.
I don't know.
I've got it in my browser because I looked it up yesterday. NoKings.org, who try to claim that Donald Trump thinks he's a king and we don't have kings in this country. So they're going to do little itty-bitty protests all over the place. There's one in downtown. There's one in St. Peter's. There's one in Baldwin. And for all I know, these are just people who've registered and said, I'm going to hold a sign, and then they get a little blip on the map. Because if you look at the map, it looks like these things are going on all over the country. But in honesty, they're probably not going to get a huge turnout. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. Coming up, we'll ask Andrew Bailey about it. He's the Missouri's Attorney General. He has been pretty active in supporting President Trump in his use of the National Guard. So if we get problems all over the country, can you imagine what's going to happen in Florida? The president won't need to wait for Ron DeSantis to call up the National Guard. My guess is he won't have to wait very long for Mike Kehoe to call up the National Guard if it gets to a point where buildings, federal buildings and state buildings are being threatened with being defaced or damaged by this bunch of lunatics. I mean, you're welcome to exercise your First Amendment rights. But once it crosses the line to throwing rocks and hurting police, when you've crossed that line, that's when it gets real. And that's what we need to shut down in this country before it gets out of hand, as it did in L.A. They finally put a curfew in place, and lo and behold, things were better last night. Imagine that, because the crazies who are the troublemakers who come out at night to cause trouble are suddenly finding themselves arrested for violating the curfew. So that's a good thing. We'll keep an eye on all that for you and let you know what's going on as we get closer to it. Up next, we'll get to Lori Reese. She helps plan positions on border security and immigration for Heritage. We're going to talk to her about this situation and the court challenges that are coming along with it. And then we'll get to Andrew Bailey at about 7:35. Right now, let's get to our top stories, Ethan, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
We the people, I stand with Donald Trump to make this state great again. But we the people choose Donald Trump to save America, and we're in danger with threats from terrorists now, and we must protect our country. This has now become good against evil. And evil will lose because our president of the United States of America was sworn in to protect this nation's greatest gifts.
John Voight there, the actor. He lives in California, and he is full-throated attacking Gavin Newsom for his lack of action and grandstanding during these riots.
What is happening in Los Angeles is a manufactured crisis by Trump, all done while flaunting the law.
Yeah, that's it. Judy Chu, a bunch of Democrats all took turns in front of a microphone yesterday, making complete rear ends out of themselves because they clearly don't care about the country they live in.
Within the span of a few decades, Los Angeles has gone from being one of the cleanest, safest, and most beautiful cities on earth to being a trash heap with entire neighborhoods under the control of transnational gangs and criminal networks. It's horrible.
Oh, great Odin's raven.
Oh, the left is worked up this morning. All of the news headlines. Donald Trump called one of his most populous cities a trash heap. Have you been there lately? Have you driven to these big blue cities lately? I'm telling you, he's not far off.
Gavin Newsom tweeted the following. He said, quote, there was no call. Not even a voicemail. Americans should be alarmed that a president deploying Marines on our streets doesn't even know who he's talking to. Well,
yeah, that was by John Roberts of Fox yesterday, Kim. I hadn't told you this yet, but we haven't talked about it yet this morning, I should say. But Donald Trump brought the receipts. Gavin Newsom went on TV and said, Donald Trump is lying. We have not had a conversation. So Donald Trump listens to this news being reported, and he called John Roberts from his airplane and said, not only have we talked, I'll send you proof of it.
President Trump contacted me from Air Force One on his way to Fort Bragg, North Carolina, where he'll be in just a little while. He said the first call to Gavin Newsom was not picked up. The second call Gavin picked up, we spoke for 16 minutes. I told him to essentially, quote, and this is quoting the president, get his ass in gear and stop the riots, which were out of control more than anything else. This shows what a liar he is. Said I never called. So here is the evidence. And here is the call log that the president sent me from his phone. This was June the 7th. Now, granted, this was on Saturday. But look, there's 1:22 o'clock in the morning. Which would have been 10 o'clock at night, 10:22 at night, California time. There was an outgoing call for 4 seconds. And then there was an outgoing call for 16 minutes.
Trump
owned Gavin Newsom. Don't tell me we didn't talk. Don't look at the American people and claim that I'm lying about it. We had this conversation, and I told you to get your butt in gear and stop the riots, and you won't do anything. So I called out the National Guard.
Mm-hmm. Which was the right decision, wholeheartedly. I was just looking on Gavin Newsom's X account to see if he had maybe responded to that. Now that Trump has shown, here is proof that we talked.
We talked, but we didn't talk about the riots. Why else would Donald Trump call you at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night because of what's going on in your biggest city in your state? Was he talking about the weather?
Probably was. No, yeah, I think Joe Biden and Hunter, may have given him some tips.
Yeah, they were just chatting about the weather. Nothing to see here.
All right, big guy.
Coming up, we'll talk to Laura Reese. She's director of border policy for the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk to her about what's happened here, what's going on, the truth about what's going on in L.A. coming up.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com. Smashing his guitar at the end of every segment. Mark Cox. Follow the show on Facebook. Facebook.com/The Mark Cox Show.
Preposterous part of this speech. This is night number 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 nights of riots and looting and violence on the streets of his principal city. And Gavin Newsom uses this opportunity to give a speech against Donald Trump, not about the rioters, not about the people who are out there committing the crime. NBC, other networks are saying this is the first step in his presidential ambitions and basically this is what's going to make Gavin Newsom president. Well, if that's the case, let me be the first to salute President J.D. Vance in 2028, because that's what's going to happen, whether Democrats like it or not, if this is their main guy.
Yeah. Joe Borelli yesterday on CNN just saying, hey, if this is what you think is going to propel you to the White House, you're losing your mind. There's just not a chance people are going to respond to this after watching L.A. burn for 5 days. My goodness, what a mess we got going on. We've got Laura Reese with us this morning. Laura is the director of Border Security and Immigration Center there at the Heritage Foundation. And Laura, great to have you on. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. So here we go. We have got finally a curfew in place in L.A., and I'm watching the reaction from people because there were 80 arrests overnight, I think, for people violating the curfew, and finally it was a calm night. A plus B equals C to me. I don't know why they didn't do this sooner.
Well, I agree. Both Mayor Bass and the governor were too passive, and but we've seen this time and time again when riots have broken out, whether it's, you know, Springfield, Missouri, or in Minneapolis. I mean, you name it, 2020, but before that as well, Ferguson, et cetera. A lot of these Democrat leaders will say, oh, they're just letting off steam, or, oh, it's not violent, or, oh, it's peaceful. And time and time again, they're proven wrong. People are harmed and property is destroyed. Meanwhile, this has now spread. So while L.A. was, you know, relatively calmer than the prior 4 nights, it's now going on in at least 11 other cities. And I do worry about this Saturday in Washington, D.C., where we're going to have a large parade. And there has been a call for, you know, no kings protests all over the country against Donald Trump.
I'm curious, Laura, who's behind these riots? Who's funding them? Because I was looking at an article on the Daily Signal that talked about how there's been increased scrutiny specifically on 3 major organizations.
Yeah, in terms of L.A., we had the SEIU. They were very visible. We had CHRLA, the Coalition for Humane Immigration Rights in Los Angeles. You had the Party for Socialism and Liberation, I think, which pre-printed the signs that the protesters were holding. You know, if you keep peeling the onion, you're going to find a lot of Soros money. You're going to find Tides money, which is Soros as well. It's the same funders that we see for a lot of bad causes to just tear down American institutions and try to reimagine American institutions and society and their Marxist ideology.
Yeah, I wonder what role the National Council of La Raza has played in all this, too, because I know they were actively aiding and abetting people breaking into the country and teaching them how to get across the border plead for amnesty or claim amnesty when they came across.
Yeah, I mean, the number of NGOs, non-governmental organizations, is endless involved in and receiving government money during the Biden administration and still involved, even though the Trump administration is in now, with Soros money, et cetera. I mean, they're running interference and offense and defense for the left. And if you think about it, you know, what was Barack Obama before he became a politician? He was a community organizer. And so I think he has taken community organizing up to scale. And these NGOs are just running everything for the left.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Karen Bass, same thing, the mayor of L.A., who used to take sabbaticals to visit Fidel Castro in Cuba. I mean, they're all organizers, and many of them, this is my saying, I'm not asking you to comment on it, but they do not have the best interests of the United States in mind to begin with, I think. And what do you think happens? What are you worried about happening next? Like, this is obviously, I don't know if it's got enough legs to last into the summer like we saw the last time cities started to burn. The Trump administration has taken a very different approach to it this time.
Yes, fortunately. Well, I think the left wants their next George Floyd. They always want their poster child to rally other people and to keep emotions stirred up and then get the left to act accordingly. But you're right. Trump has learned from 2020 and he's being more decisive and more swift about it. I had to follow the riots in 2020 and, you know, we just kept asking, where are the investigations? Where are the RICO investigations and prosecutions? I do think they are pursuing that this time around. And what's interesting about this is how much of it is really about immigration and mass deportations and how much of it is just about, you know, socialist revolution by many of these groups. I think they're using immigration and deportations as an excuse to just, you know, tear down institutions and to go after Trump.
Laura Reese, we appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Heritage.org, the dailysignal.com. You can follow it there. I read a quote earlier from one of these NGOs in L.A. saying they've stripped us of our funding. We don't have anything else to do. We're all in. So now they're bitter because they got stripped of their funding by the Trump administration. I think that's sweet irony, isn't it? Hey, coming up, Andrew Bailey, Missouri's Attorney General, with his thoughts on all this. Stay tuned.
Always giving you more. The Mark Cox Morning Show. Follow the show on Facebook. Facebook.com/The Mark Cox Show.
This is our city, and this was Mexico. You can't kick us out of the land that was ours. Donald Trump!
Wow, is that what's coming to Missouri or Illinois soon? I don't know. There are protests apparently planned around the nation by some of these oddly well-organized groups. It's hard to believe that there's not some larger force here that's manipulating all of this. We've got Missouri's Attorney General on the phone this morning. Andrew Bailey, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Hey, Mark, thanks so much for having me on.
Yes, sir. Are you concerned that we might see a repeat of some of this here in Missouri?
I'm not concerned. We're not going to let that happen on my watch. I tell you, there is nothing peaceful about what's going on with the protests in Los Angeles, California, and that it seemed to have spread to other parts of the country. They're burning buildings, looting stores, attacking law enforcement officers who are carrying out their official duties. I mean, this is deplorable. And in fact, I think it invokes a broader conversation about what it means to be American. Look, we have a history of peaceful protests here in the United States of America. In fact, we codified it in our First Amendment right to free speech.
Right.
But this, there's nothing peaceful about the anarchy and chaos that is being sown in Los Angeles and in other cities. And in fact, if you look at the protesters, violent agitators, illegal aliens, they hate the United States of America. They don't want us to have a border. They don't want to, if we don't have a border, we don't have a country. That's why they're waving other countries' flags and burning the American flag. We will not tolerate that behavior here in the state of Missouri.
Which makes this all the more incredible. Listen to Maxine Waters. Go to cut three, please.
And even those who were out of step with what we are advocating, peaceful protest, did not create any violence. Nobody was shot. Nobody was killed. Get it in your head. And so when martial law is called, what are you going to say? I missed the point. Don't miss the point, you all. Don't think that somehow, because they called out the National Guard, there was violence. There was no violence. I was on the street.
I don't know about you, Mr. Attorney General. I mean, I didn't see any cars burning. I didn't see any looting. What in the world is wrong with people like Maxine Waters? I don't get it.
She's completely untethered from objective reality. I mean, I bet you Maxine Waters would tell you that Joe Biden was a great president, right? Yeah, I mean, that's how ridiculous and nonsensical these people are. But at the end of the day, I think this shows incredible leadership from President Trump to take strong action. Look, we learned a lot here in Missouri during protests. We've learned a lot at the national level. In 2020, President Trump was in office in 2020 in that summer when the quote-unquote peaceful protests were occupying entire city blocks in Seattle and burning federal courthouses and attacking police stations across the United States of America. That harms the rest of us. We have rights, too. And so those rights have to be protected. And at the end of the day, the rule of law matters. And it starts with the immigration code. If you don't like the immigration code, go to Congress and get it changed. But we have borders and we have laws to protect our national sovereignty for a reason. And that is exactly what these anti-American agitators and illegal aliens are. That's why they're burning flags and buildings and attacking law enforcement officers in Los Angeles.
Gavin Newsom, of course, was saying, I'm going to sue the Trump administration for you deploying the National Guard because, you know, I didn't request it. And then when you said you were sending them, I said, I don't want them here. The latest news I saw was that a judge has rejected Newsom's request to try to limit Trump, you know, deploying troops to L.A. So where does this go from here?
Well, I'm sure Newsom will attempt to appeal, but look, he's on poor legal footing. There's a federal statute that gives the commander-in-chief of the armed forces of the United States of America, that the president of the United States, the authority to call out the National Guard in defense of the nation. And there's ample Supreme Court of the United States case law to suggest that that statute is constitutional. So Newsom doesn't have a leg to stand on. And look, if he had been doing his job in the first place, instead of inviting criminal aliens into his state, we wouldn't be in this mess. But Joe Biden and Gavin Newsom are the reason we're now paying the price with this kind of anarchy because they invited this behavior.
Yeah, it's a good point. And, you know, in most common sense states, you wouldn't have to wait for the governor to call in the National Guard. They would go ahead and take those actions. I've pointed out a couple of times, if Governor Nixon had sent the National Guard in sooner, large parts of Ferguson would not have burned down. But there was a hesitation to do that.
Well, absolutely. And let's go one step further. The sanctuary cities that invited criminal aliens into this country, President Biden, who refused to finish building the border wall and turned the open sign on at the border, refused to deport anyone. That's why we're cleaning up this mess. President Trump is a janitor trying to clean up a mess, and thank goodness he's got such strong leadership to take a bold stand. And again, this is about the rule of law. When did we abandon the principle that the rules matter? We used to elevate the rules of the game above the players and the outcome. Gavin Newsom, Joe Biden, Maxine Waters have abandoned and rejected that approach. We are a nation founded upon law. Our national identity is the United States Constitution a legal document. So how dare they betray our country by undermining the rule of law in this manner?
Yeah. Attorney General Andrew Bailey, our guest right now, saw the ongoing investigation now in Congress, James Comer, on this auto pen controversy. I know you were one of the first ones to challenge that, and there's a lot of smoke here. Where do you see this ending? Could it end in some of these decisions made by Joe Biden's auto pen being overturned?
I think that's the absolute first step. I think at the end of the day, you might see criminal indictments. Look, in the state of Missouri, it's a felony to authenticate a false writing. That's a forgery offense, to give a writing the authenticity that it doesn't actually have. And when you talk about legal documents and you look at Article 2 of the United States Constitution, all executive authority is vested in a singular President of the United States, only the president can make decisions on federal commutations. And so whoever controlled the auto pen seemed to be doling out those commutations. How many death penalty sentences were overturned through that commutation, some of which were handed down here in the state of Missouri? Who's going to answer to those victims? And who was making those decisions? We know the president did not have the mental acuity to make the decision because his own DOJ told us that in February of 2024 when the special counsel said he couldn't form the appropriate mental state, an intentional mental state, to commit a criminal act. Well, if he can't form the appropriate mental state to commit a criminal act, how is he signing legal documents? So at a minimum, I think those documents lack the validity that they purport to have. At a maximum, I think whoever was abusing the president and exercising authority in his name when they didn't have it committed a forgery and should be charged criminally.
I would love to see the pardon for Hunter Biden and Fauci to be negated. I'm just kind of curious. I mean, obviously the president signing a lot of documents, so that would be why there would be a use in some cases for an auto pen. Do other offices have that? Like, would a governor have that? Or what, do you know of cases where that's used besides the president of the United States?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a statute on the books in the state of Missouri that explicitly authorizes the governor to execute formal documents using an auto pen. There's a statute on the books in the state of Missouri more broadly that allows kind of remote signature and that sort of thing. But the problem is not like the hand holding the pen. Like, somebody could have just manipulated Joe Biden's hand, you know, while he was in another adjourned to another dimension, right, and signed the document. That it's the mental state. Did he understand what was being signed? Was it done in his name? Had he fully authorized it? Had he contemplated the consequences? And again, these are legal challenges that occur in probate courts across the state of Missouri, across the country, every day. When you have a deceased loved one who signed a testamentary instrument like a will, and then that is contested later on, saying, hey, look, they changed their will at the 11th hour because they weren't of right mind. Sure. And those kinds of legal disputes happen every day. And there's a growing quantum of evidence that would say that whatever Joe Biden signed at a minimum in the last few months of his presidency is null and void.
Yeah. We're talking to Missouri's Attorney General Andrew Bailey. I reported on a story earlier this morning where 27 states, and I didn't look at the list, have sued to prevent 23andMe from releasing private information. Was Missouri one of those?
Yeah, absolutely. We've warned Missouri consumers about potential data breaches in relation to that. And that's just part and parcel of the consumer protection work we do at the Missouri Attorney General's office. And look, St. Louis has been hammered by tornadoes. We see unscrupulous business practices in the wake of that kind of natural disaster. And I want to warn anyone in the St. Louis region who's been impacted or has loved ones that have been impacted by the tornadoes, be careful. Make sure you don't hand out cash before the work is done. Check out anyone who's trying to contract with you or do business with you. Check them out online. Call my office before agreeing to pay them. Try to reduce all agreements for work into writing so there's a documented record. And if you feel like you've been scammed, check us out at ago.mo.gov, ago.mo.gov. We have a drop-down form, a complaint form you can fill out. We've got investigators standing by to help you out. My first year in office, we recovered more than $32 million in settlements and judgments on behalf of the people of the state of Missouri and our Consumer Protection Division. Last year, my second year in office, we recovered north of $400 million. That's real money going back into the pockets of working Missourians who were scammed. We want to do even more this year, so we stand by ready to help victims of natural disaster, victims whose data has been released to the public.
All right. Attorney General Andrew Bailey, thank you, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Mark. Look forward to talking again soon.
Yes, sir. We will talk again soon. Good to get him on here this morning and know that he's involved so deeply in this auto pen story. I am afraid to get my hopes up that might lead somewhere, but I really hope it does.
I do, too. I mean, it sounds like there's enough reason to at least investigate.
And I've never been a legal investigator like that. Wouldn't you almost have to have a whistleblower who said, I know Joe Biden didn't approve this, but it got signed anyway, because all they have to do is deny it. And if there's no physical evidence otherwise, it's Biden, if you could take Biden's word,
right,
or his staff members against. Yeah, that's it.
It's possible that could happen.
Yeah,
his own press secretary has come out with a book, and I'm sure it's for her own gain, but has come out with a book calling it the broken White House or the broken Biden administration. Quite a few people have started turning on him when everything's been going down. So it is absolutely possible that there still could be a whistleblower who comes forward and makes those types of allegations.
Yep, it's a good point. What's coming up on Kim on a Whim?
You see this video of this CNN reporter and his crew who say they were detained. They were trying to cover the LA riots and they were told to put their hands behind their back. And now it's raising more concerns from people saying, are police targeting journalists who are just trying to do their job? Let's talk about that when we
come
back.
We'll be right back.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. And now, more sweet intro music. Kim on a Whim.
Well, there's a lot of talk right now about a whole situation that happened to a CNN crew that was out there covering the LA riots. And I want to play a little bit of this video for you. I don't think I need to drag it out, but just to kind of give you a feel for what was happening. So this crew's out there again. They're kind of in the middle of all these riots when they get approached from LAPD because they were in a protest zone.
Straight down this way.
We're gonna officers are going to walk you down that way. Okay.
Okay.
So what I need from you is to put your hands behind your back. They're going to walk you. Yeah, you can hold on your paper.
So what he ends up telling everybody, his staff there at CNN, is he says, we weren't arrested. We were detained. You can hear in this video that I'm playing right now, clearly it was a very cordial situation. There was no hostility between the crew and LAPD. But they were saying, you know, look, you're in a protest zone. We're trying to clear everybody out. We're trying to keep everybody safe. And you're right smack dab, I guess, in the middle of it. But now, of course, people are tying this into what happened the other day with that Australian journalist who was hit by one of those rubber bullets. And they're trying to say, look, this is another example of how LAPD is targeting journalists and they're not allowing them to do their job.
Well, go back and listen to our interview yesterday with Griff Jenkins. It's up on the podcast from yesterday. I asked Griff about that. Now, Griff has been in a lot more of these high profile protests than I have. But as a reporter over the years, I've certainly been there on the ground in the area where the protesters are with police on the other side of the street. And if you're standing over there and tear gas gets fired or rubber bullets start flying, you're as likely to be hit as any of the protesters. Yeah. It is a risk of the job. Stop belly aching about it later. You'll get a few minutes of fame out of it because you're going to complain about it. But it's one of the risks of the job.
Well, you know,
didn't they have protective gear for you at Channel 4 when you were doing some of those stuff?
I can't remember if we had protective gear, but we definitely had security.
Yeah.
And I remember them going over a specific security protocol with us saying, okay, if anything gets crazy, and he was showing how he would pick me up a certain way and shove me into this like black SUV. Like it was, I remember telling my parents about that and they're like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
You know, just like it was that scary or something. But I think we had bulletproof vests maybe in the car. I don't think I ever wore one, but the security guard certainly had one on. Now, I think I saw somewhere in an article that LAPD was saying one of the challenges is that everybody and their mom's monkey's uncle wants to sit there and say that they're a member of the press and that therefore they have a right to be there in the middle of everything going on. They're a blogger. They have one video they've posted to YouTube and all of a sudden they're press.
I'm
a journalist. And then now you have this huge infiltration of people claiming they're the press and you're confused and you're trying to not hurt them, but they're kind of getting in the way. So I can understand from that perspective why this does get really challenging. And there has to be some sort of restriction of, hey, just like they told the CNN crew, they said, look, you're not being arrested. If you come back into this protest zone, you will be arrested.
Yeah. Well, as long as he was warned and moved out of the way, I don't think that's the story they were looking for there or claiming that they were finding.
Well, the press club is now calling on the LAPD and the sheriff there in LA to stop targeting, detaining or obstructing journalists and guarantee that they can safely report on the demonstrations.
Well, I mentioned the 23andMe story earlier. We're going to talk to attorney Gonzalo Serrano about that coming up in the next hour because have you taken one of those DNA tests? is your personal information at risk here? We're going to get to the latest on that about 8:20. And our friend Taylor Riggs, co-host of The Big Money Show on Fox Business at 8:35. Back here right after this.
Get more at 971talk.com.